Shot still going strongly in the closing minutes. Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Siddle scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Hello and welcome once again to Falkirk Daft, your unofficial podcast dedicated to everything to do with the Bairns as we look back at what was a hell of a weekend in the big game against them, as well as looking ahead to a Challenge Cup match against Thistle on Friday. However, it would not be Falkirk Daft without the ginger god of pod himself, Rossy Wayne. I don't know why that song's in my head. I don't know why.
I've no idea. There's been no songs over the weekend that's even remotely close to this.
Oh, I heard some bad songs at the weekend. I was like,
There was a few good ones as well.
Oh, there's a couple of good ones. How you doing, Ross? You all right?
Good, mate. Good. It was some day on Saturday. It was good. It was a good day out through there. Bairns played well, which I know we're going to get into anyway, but... I thought it was a good day overall. It's just a shame we didn't come away with the 3 points because I think we deserved it.
Yeah, what time did you stay in the pub till?
It wasn't that late, no, because obviously it was an early start, wasn't it? So it was back at 10 in the morning. It wasn't too late, maybe 8:30 or something like that. It was sensible. So
yeah, decent. Can you believe how busy that Elizabethan was? Oh, that's the busiest I've ever seen it.
Yeah, likewise, and I've been in there loads over the years for Bairns games. That is definitely the busiest it's ever been. And literally, as soon as we walked in at 5 to 12 or something like that, the place was rammed. It was a great atmosphere, though. I thought it was brilliant on Saturday, from start to finish.
No, it was absolutely fantastic. Apart from me spending about half an hour trying to get to the bar when we first get in, because I drew the short straw to get the first round, and it was like, geez, it was an absolute nightmare. But the good thing is our driver, the bus driver, was able to get past the Roman bar buses on the Queen's Ferry crossing so we could get to the bar before they got there.
He did well. Gav won't be happy, who we know well, but we did. He managed to do well getting past those couple of buses anyway.
I know, listen, we're going to get into the game itself in just in a bit. And before we get into podcast, I've got to say a big thanks to our first sponsors on Falkirk Daft, Ross, Forth Valley Dental Laboratory. So thank you very much. It's Stuart Arbuckle. The Arbuckles, big supporters of Falkirk, put loads into the club and big advocates for the Falkirk Supporters Society as well. And Stuart's jumped on board with Forth Valley Dental Laboratory. They've been in business for over 30 years and they strive to provide the highest quality in dental technology to dentists across Scotland. They offer a full service dental laboratory covering all aspects of both private and NHS dental lab work. Based in Falkirk, obviously, and they provide free daily collection and delivery service across mainland Scotland, and they also do a postal service UK-wide as well. All our technicians fully qualified and registered members of the General Dental Council, and the lab is fully registered with the MHRA. So if you are in the dental industry, you want to get involved with Forth Valley Dental Laboratory, easy for me to say. Their services include chrome and acrylic denture work, crown and bridge implants, sports and mouth guards, Valpass flexible fixtures, anti-sone appliances, denture repair, tooth whitening and bleaching, digital dentistry and orthodontics. If you're in the dental industry, these are your boys right here, Stuart and the team over at Forth Valley Dental Laboratory. So get involved with them. You can get in touch with them, forthvalleydental.co.uk, forthvalleydental.co.uk, or give them a call, 01324-228-464, 01324-228-464. It's Falkirk Daft this week with Forth Valley Dental Laboratory. So thanks again to Stuart. Really big supporter of the podcast, big supporter of doing so. And like you say, if you want to jump on board and be a sponsor, you can do that. Hit us up, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com. Not much news in the way of news, Ross, but I've got to say congratulations to our boy, Callum Morrison, who was voted August Player of the Month. in the big vote that went on between
well
fans.
Deserved, yeah, very well deserved. A few goals, overall play was great. So no, fantastic. And as we know, he's got a goal flash sponsor on board now as well. So.
Well, exactly, exactly. Sure, we'll talk about that a bit later on as well. I think it's due to my pep talk at the start of August when we,
I would say,
you know, we said he couldn't really decide what he wanted, the chicken or the steak. But ever since I've said that, it's always been steak, mate. You know what I mean?
Fantastic, Sunset. Steak all the way.
Steak all the way. So well done, Callum Morrison, and keep the goals coming, because as Ross says, we sponsor the goal sponsorship. So yeah, that's great for us. So keep them coming, Callum, and well done on your Player of the Month award. Now, Ross, every week on Falkirk Daft, we get a guest pundit on, and this week is no exception, of course. However, slightly worried about this one, Ross, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Everyone I've spoke to has said, I hope you've got the beat machine at the ready when you get this guy on. So you'll generally find him on match days at the end of the bar in Elliot's. Please welcome to Falkirk Daft, it's Brian Stewart.
Hey, Brian, how you doing? You all right?
I'm fine, mate. Thank you very much. Yourself?
Yeah, we're grand. We're grand.
Good.
Brian, great to have you on the podcast. Everybody, as I said, has been warning me, if you're getting Brian on, get that beat machine at the ready. So I've got it by my side here, ready to go at any point.
You'll be fine, mate. You'll be fine.
It's not really a family show. I was going to say it's a family show. It's not really a family show. So swear all you want, Brian. Swear all you want.
You're fine, mate.
You've been in about Falkirk. How many years have you been in about Falkirk now, mate?
Oh, geez. 30 odd years, maybe. Maybe longer. Well, depends. Probably 30 years, I would say. Long time, eh?
I know. What was it that got you into the Bairns, Brian?
It was just a Saturday. Obviously, we were at school and that, nothing to do on a Saturday. So he's going to watch some football, and unfortunately, I've got tagged along to watch Falkirk, and I've always been going back, so that's the way it is now.
And you've ran the Elliot's, the buses up from Elliot's and stuff since we moved to the stadium. Obviously, really involved with the Elliot side of things. What made you get all that started?
Well, it wasn't actually me that started. There was a few other guys, like the people in previous times, Ian Grahams and Ali Bells, etc. And then they got kind of fed up with it. So I've just done it, and just ever since I've had it, kept it going since then. I've done it for over 25 years, 26 years now, I think.
Yeah, it's a long time, isn't it?
It is a long time. And I've seen some highs and some lows, Ross, you can imagine.
Definitely. Brian, I remember, I think it might have been the summer of 98, you said to me, oh, I'm not running the bus next year. And here we are, it's 2022.
I know, mate. It's also, this is the guys who go to the games as well, you know, for a few beers and that, see people taking cars, and
yeah,
it's quite easy, you know, the guys are really good at that, so it's not too bad. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. Well, we thank you for it, Brian. Listen, we've got to ask you, we ask everyone that comes on, who's your favourite Falkirk player of all time?
Well, mine, my overall hero was Crawford Bapty, of course, but you've got to see Kevin McAllister, I think. We've had Simon and that as well, but there's a few, but my old team football was Crawford Bapty.
Aye, no, popular. Well, we've never had Croft, no one's ever actually picked.
No, I don't think we've had Croft so far. No, I don't think so.
You've heard me talk to Pat Ross, I've talked to him loads of time now, and old team hero of mine, fantastic player.
Absolutely. Here, Brian, I think you can answer this question. Our big question this week on the podcast is, what's the most random encounter you've had with a Falkirk player? Can you think of anything off the top of your head when you've met someone, one of the Falkirk players out and about, or probably in Elliot's, to be fair?
Oh, there's quite a few comes in back and forward. We're actually getting Liam Craig at the moment. He's kind of coming in back and forward. He's local now. Craig Symbol, just chatting about football and that. And if their days out, they come in for a beer or whatever else, there's always two or three of them hanging about, so you always got a good chance to talk to some of them, you know. Some of them are quite nice.
Some of them?
Aye, some of them. But you know what I mean? I didn't mean it like that, but some of them are quite, you know, quite quiet and everything else. But most of them are quite good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And generally, at the end of the season, everyone piles into Elliot's for the beers anyway, and the player of the year and stuff like that. So back on it this season, hopefully, and hopefully more to choose from this season as well, Brian.
hopefully. We've not had it for, well, I know we've been pretty poor the last 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. and it's not been best, but hopefully now we've got the right man in charge, hopefully, and maybe get us firing in all summers, hopefully, and get us going.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, let's get into the game then. Obviously, on Saturday, it was 1-1. It finished at East End Park. Roman Burrell came in to make his first start. Obviously, John McGlynn teased us with on his interview that there would be a Mr. Injury, and that turned out to be Allegria. Gary Oliver got back into starting 11 as well, as Sean Mackey dropped to the bench with Liam Henderson coming in the centre half there. So, is that the lineup you boys would have went with?
Well, I'm here to pick the manager. The manager's the decision to pick the team, I suppose. But I think that probably the best 11 we probably could have started with, to be fair. And they'll get a bit stand back in depth now. But the 11 that we played, especially the guy Burrell up front, he was just something else. I don't know. The guy was just like a whip it and he started running. He couldn't handle him, you know?
It was tremendous on Saturday, I thought, Burrell. Absolutely tremendous. And, do you know, even if Allegri is fit for this Friday night, I'd keep Burrell in. Although he might want to mix the team up with it being a cup game, I suppose.
No, that's true. Obviously, it was really busy getting on. Ross, you were moaning about the queues and getting searched on the way in.
I thought it was just... do you know what? It's always horrendous through there because they think every single person that's coming through has got like a weapon on them or something. They're searching wee kids and stuff as well, which is bonkers. Dundee police were as bad a few weeks back as well. Do you know, the crowd were boisterous on Saturday, but nothing out of the ordinary, do you know?
It's normal practice.
Yeah.
It's these flares. It's ridiculous.
Do you know what, Brian? There's a point I wanted to make. You know, obviously, speaking to unusually, there was a crew up from Sheffield and were interested. I mean, I don't know if they were just there for trouble, but there was a connection there with one of the guys who went down to Sheffield and started supporting the Blades down there, and then they kind of reciprocated by coming up to Falkirk. But I mean, I wanted to actually have a bit of a rant about this, if you'll let me, gentlemen, have a bit of a rant about this, because for me, you know, right, there's a couple of things I want to pick up from. There was obviously the trouble in town, right? That's kind of part and parcel of this fixture. Again, bit of handbags, throwing chairs at each other. But again, then you get into the ground, you've got to search, fair enough, right? So then we've got the silence wasn't observed, right? Now, your political views and all that, it's football, you know, and you've just got to respect that. Because any slight, as we'll always see, it'll come back on our club. You know, if our supporters are sitting there making a racket during the silence, and you can think what you want. I'm not a royalist myself, but, you know, I'll respect the silence because anything, if you break a minute of silence, it always comes back on the club and people, you know, to the detriment of the club. Now, we had, like, all these blue flares going on to the ground. Fair enough, that's what the young team do now. But, you know, they're getting launched at people that are there to do a job, photographers, stewards. And actually, see some of the treatment of the stewards that I saw, for no reason at all, people were just being dicks for the sake of being dicks because they're in the Falkirk end at a Dunfermline match, right? And these guys are just there to do a job, right? And people were just getting in their way and just giving them hassle for the sake of getting hassle. And as for the flares, you know, there was points where they were throwing the flares and it was breaking up the play. You could see Col Donaldson shouting. I mean, the referee didn't deal with it. It was the guy who came in with the tongs to pick it up and all that and the safety glasses, which was comedy value.
It was a bit much. It was taking it a bit far, wasn't it?
It was, but I mean, it was interrupting the play and the flow of the game at points, you know, and that shouldn't be. And it comes back in our club. You know, I just don't understand why you would do that. I mean, I know it's a young team. It creates atmosphere and they're all up singing. That's great. The atmosphere was fantastic on Saturday, but anything like that, whether it's shouting over the 1 minute silence, whether it's throwing flares in the pitch, whether it's unnecessarily agitating stewards and police and all that stuff, it all comes back to the good name of our football club. And you know what? I'm not for that.
How did you get the flares in, though? Because we're all supposed to be searched. And so where are they putting these things? You know what I mean?
Well, I don't want to know. I don't want to know, but
you know what I mean? It's just...
Do you know,
it's all good fun until somebody gets hurt. That's it done. When somebody gets burnt or hurt, that's it done.
No, exactly.
John, the only thing is, right, see the I know I've said this before. I don't mind the smoke bombs or flares or whatever you want to call them, right? They add a bit of colour. I think they do help in certain... It helps. There's just something there, right? However, I think you mentioned about the stewards. The only thing is, I saw a couple of the stewards. There was at least two in there where we were sitting as well. I know you, Brian, you weren't too far away from us as well, right? There was a couple of stewards there who were mouthing off at the fans before they even got in. Because I think I know what you're talking about, John. They weren't letting them pass and stuff. But these guys were mouthing off first. And you've got to bear in mind, there's probably Dunfermline fans who are stewards, and there'll be Falkirk fans who are stewards at our place as well. And that probably is a bit of part and parcel when you're up that end. I'm not convinced it was all Falkirk fans that was at blame here, right? But I think, going back to the flares thing, I do think it adds something. I don't agree with when it breaks up the play and causes a disruption to the game flow and stuff like that. You're right. There was one that missed the photographer, which isn't great, right? But I do think they add something to the atmosphere and the game and stuff. I do.
Say hello to my hair. I had the blue rings in my hair. It was lovely.
I did see one boy that was just covered in blue. It was like
an episode of Still Game.
It's like the police are trying to find. I think you're fucked that one. There's no chance you're getting away with this. Honestly, officer, I didn't have a blue flare covered in blue.
Remember the episode of Still Game when the guy had a blue hand? The voice, half his face was covered in blue ink.
Listen, can we not just bring back inflatables? That was a good laugh.
Aye, you're right. That was a real proper 80s, 90s thing, bringing the inflatables. Not the controversial ones, but like the funnier ones. Like the
few inflatables playing was the last couple of years, I'm sure you hear that. There's been a few inflatables playing with us in the last few years.
No, that's true, Brian. That's right. Listen, that was just getting in my pedestal there. But let's get into the game, boys. So, obviously, 1-1, Benedictus for Dunfermline with the penalty, Morrison for us. I mean, the first half, we potentially one of the best we played this season, I thought.
Yeah. I was up there with maybe with the Hibs first half as well, but we played really well. It was just the passing was crisp and firm, and it was good. Against Kelty the previous, it was just nonsense. But Saturday he got it spot on. I think he done really, really well. So I think we should be quite pleased with Saturday's performance.
Totally agree. I thought that was, like Brian's just said, it was probably up there with that Hibs game. If anything, we maybe exceeded the Hibs game. We could have been 4-0 up at half time, and I don't think any of the Fifers would have been. Could have complained about it, to be honest. Quite comfortable, could have been 3 or 4 up.
Yeah, that's the worrying thing. We're not taking our chances at the moment, eh? I know we've had a few chances in the game, but we're just going to get a person to stick it in there for us at the moment, eh? But Morrison's doing his bit, but you know, he's got his moments as well sometimes. But we took a job for a bit, I think, to be fair.
Yeah, no, I mean, we came out to try. It seemed like they were really hungry. It seemed that someone had been in amongst them. I don't know who's kind of got communication about this game, because you've seen Falkirk players go out there and they've not got it. I remember Paul Hartley just didn't, he did not get that fixture at all. But someone's obviously, you know, had a word in that change room saying, listen, boys, this is it. Or in training, hopefully, they seem to know the importance of this fixture. And obviously, when they came out to the atmosphere that we created, they felt it as well. But yeah,
they couldn't not be. You come out and there's two and a half thousand Bairns fans behind the goals. Everybody's up for it. I know we just mentioned the smoke bombs and stuff, right? But it all adds to the atmosphere. It all added to the colour. There was a brilliant noise in there. I saw a video on YouTube yesterday, and it was one of these YouTubers in the home end, and that was what you heard. It was the Bairns fans that were singing. So I think that's giving them a wee bit extra oomph in that start of the game as well, I think.
I know it's in Saturday, Ross, as well. That little shite, Sammy the Tammy, was in the window. What happened to him?
It's a valid point. I didn't see Sammy the Tammy.
COVID. COVID. As in the mascot. COVID. I don't know the man. That would be the mascot itself, though.
I never saw him, eh?
No, you're right, I never saw him either.
That is a valid point. It's a valid point. What intrigued me is I don't know why we're playing our away top rather than our home top.
Ah, it doesn't matter about that, does it? It's inside the top of Mars.
You're right, Brian. You just want to see the navy blue, though. But I guess there'll be so many games that they have to play in the away top as well. But no, I was surprised that they started doing that. You know, let's talk about the goal itself. I mean, we started dominant, like you say, because we've been up by a couple of goals. Really good goal, really well worked from down the right for Burrell, and obviously Cal tapping it in at the back post.
Yeah, the team was more balanced on Saturday night compared to the Celtic game. I never seemed to be arse for elbow, but the game looked more even. The players seemed to know what their job was on Saturday, which was a good sign, yeah. We've done that for a wee while, so on Saturday they knew what it was all about.
I think we were exciting on Saturday. You can just tell there was something about us. We talked about Morrison. I thought Morrison was actually quite quiet. I know he scored, but otherwise he was quite quiet in the first half, especially. Burrell was
It was McGuffey. I thought he had a really good game on Saturday. He's usually quite well. But I thought it was decent in the wee Nesbitt had a good game too. But
yeah,
to be fair, I think a good game.
Nesbitt was well up for that game. I thought Nesbitt was well up for it. He was getting in the tackles. He was getting in the mix with the passing. He was picking up the scraps that they weren't the misplaced passes that they were making as well, which we were kind of forcing them into making. So no, brilliant.
They did. There was certainly, like Brian says, there was energy about the side, and I thought Burrell led from the front, and he didn't give Benedictus a minute's peace. Obviously, Benedictus got an early booking there as well, and you're thinking, well, you could be
off.
He didn't give him a minute. So Burrell, certainly, I thought up front added a lot of energy, and obviously you could see what happened when it came to the goal there as well. Great save, I have to say. It was right in front of us, Nicky Hogarth, when it was 1-0 to us and coming near the end of the first half. I thought it was a tremendous save from Nicky.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it makes up for the line made the week before. So he probably should have really held it. He put under pressure, but he put it over the bar. He should have kept it.
Aye.
He held on to it.
I know. they did... So the first half, all Falkirk, like you say, tremendous energy about the side. To a man, we were better in every position of the park. We were winning that midfield battle, which I thought was really important going into the game. Second half, however, again, it was the traditional almost game of two halves until we went into that last 10 minutes. They came out with a bit of fight with them, Ross.
They did. They came. Do you know what? They were probably relieved that they were only one down. I think if it had been worse, that I think we would have just continued to do what we're doing.
Yeah, I said to you, we needed that second. We were desperate on that second goal because we knew what was coming the second half, didn't we?
Well, exactly. They were shooting towards their home fans as well. That the Norrie end, and they knew they were going to be up for it. So. They didn't have all the setting tough though. I thought the last 10-15 minutes was a lot more kind of favour towards us. I think we had the better of the chances in that last period as well. And I thought if there was one team running it, I thought it was going to be us, to be honest.
You can't discount the fact they obviously hit the post twice, mind you.
No, they did. Listen, they had time where they were on top. They definitely did. I think the penalty gave them a massive bit of lift as well. I'm no idea what Henderson thought he was doing. Lunging in like that, to be honest. I've watched it back and I don't think it's as reckless as I thought it was at the time, but still, he could have just, like, the boy actually crossed it in anyway. He didn't even stop the cross. And obviously it went nowhere, so we could have got away with it, but...
It's just one of these things, Ross. You know, we're learning, we're still learning, the team's still gelling together, but the signs are looking good. I think we should be more positive for a few years, eh?
Yeah.
Some of the signings that he's got is decent.
Yeah.
John's no stupid. You know, he's a wise old. Like,
I think we all trust him. I think we do. We all trust him to get the right players in, and we, hopefully, maybe we're not done. Maybe there's a loan signing still to come in. I don't know.
Certainly, but, right back. We could really do. And seeing that, though, I thought Finn Yeats ran an absolute. He ran for miles. He put in so much effort. You can see he was obviously a bit of cramp there at the end, but I thought he put a good shift. The Henderson thing, I mean, like you say, Ross, there was no need for it, was there? There was absolutely no need. You can still tell he's probably just that wee bit off proper match fitness. I think hopefully you know, once he gets a wee bit more into four games, because we all know he's a good player. He's a good player, and I think centre half's definitely his position, but I just think it's going to take him just a few more matches to get into a rhythm, you know?
We just seem to get one person back and another one goes out injured. If we just get this full team selection and give us a real good, decent chance and go on the run, because I think if you win 6-7 games in a row, I think you could go far. You know, anybody's know, and they're top of the league, and they're none special to be top of the league. They're actually pretty poor.
Brian, that was my thoughts as well. See, when we're coming back on the bus and then talking about it in the pub after the game, that was my thoughts as well. See, if that's the team that's good enough to be sitting top of the league unbeaten, we've not hit, and I know it, we've kind of shot ourselves in the foot a couple of times with a couple of bad games, but if we could just, as you say, get 6-7 results on the bounce, we'd probably be above them quite comfortably.
Yeah.
It's a marathon, what's not a sprint, as they say.
Absolutely. You know, that's only the second goal they've conceded this season. So that's testament to how we did in the first half. You can tell there's quality there from Dunfermline. They've got a couple of really good players. I mean, Benedictus, as much as he probably could have walked in that, I think Benedictus, I'm actually disappointed we missed out on him, because it was obviously talk about him coming to us. But yeah, there was big chances they missed. But let's talk about the big chances there in the last 10 minutes. Callum Morrison and Burrell potentially as well. They were, I mean, the Burrell chance especially, just think, oh.
There's a couple of times as well when Morrison's in a position and he shoots it rather than square it to somebody into the box to get a shot off, and he wants to take it on himself. But you know what? He scores the goals. We can't really complain too much about that. That's just nitpicking a bit. But yeah. His final ball, something to me, a bit kind of dodgy sometimes. But
do you know one of the half chances that frustrated me on Saturday? Remember there was I can't remember if it was a shot and then it was blocked. And then I think it was Gary Oliver, and he let the ball go out for a corner kick. And I thought,
again,
he took it down and actually had a pop.
Yeah, I remember that as well. Remember, I mean, there was chances in that, like, certainly, like you say, that last 10 minutes, you know, we could have went on to win it, and seeing that they could have. In the, you know, preceding that, they had their chances of us hitting the post and what have you as well. I draw a fair result though. I hate to say it, but I walked away from it thinking that is probably a fair result.
We could have won it, but we'll take a draw. That's what, yeah. I say.
Ross,
I was disappointed. I wanted 3 points before the game, and I thought we did enough, but. You're right. Listen, we've not got beat. We've went through there and got a point. We need to beat them at home, though. That's 3 points. We need to get them at the start of November. That has to be 3 points.
Yeah.
I remember this, Ross. This was their biggest game of the season for them. You know?
Yeah.
This was the game they wanted to beat us, and we play well away from them. Right, if they come back here now, hopefully we'll have more players back fit. You know what I mean? Get players that's
absolutely
level and.
Yeah, there'll be a full house, I think, at the next time they play us.
They'll drop points as well. Let's not kid ourselves. They're going to drop points along the way as well, because judging on that first half from them, they'll not be 100% at. So they're going to drop points along the way as well. Get two draws at East End Park, or a draw and a win at East End Park, and then beat them back at the stadium. You know, that's got to be a goal. I mean, looking at the results again across the weekend, Airdrie aren't going away, and I thought they would be going away this season. They had that blip against Edinburgh, but it seems to be there's a lot. You know, Edinburgh seems to be
in murder.
Well, that's what you, Brian. But then they went away, pumped Airdrie 6-0, and you think, Christ.
I know, but listen, Airdrie beat us 4-0, but we had men off the park in the wind. That Airdrie game wasn't a 4-0 game. Yeah. Edinburgh are shite, mate. Let's be clear about that. They're shite. They shouldn't have been in the league anyway.
There's the bleep machine coming out now. Here we go. We've got them revved up now.
Edinburgh shouldn't be in the league because they've not got a park that's up to scratch. So they shouldn't be in the league to start with. Aye. For them to be sitting set and top is really a poor standard. That's what I'm concerned.
Yeah. I mean, got to put a shout out though. And, you know, this is a credit to both sets of supporters. You look down the attendances from the weekend's game. So we are the third biggest attended game at the weekend there. You know, Rangers, Dundee United, obviously, 49,334. Hibs, Aberdeen, 17,292. And we've got a better attendance than Motherwell versus Hearts, which was 6,546, and we've taken 6,670. St Mirren versus Celtic were even beaten that as well, you know what I mean? So it just goes to show you, you know, it's like, Christ, why are Falkirk and Dunfermline at this level, you know?
Because we are.
You're right, because we've been shite. That's exactly it.
We all know we deserve to be here in terms of merit, right? So we know that. But in terms of the stature of the fixture, it does show you. And I know we mentioned it earlier on about the extra baggage that the fixture brings, right? But it always has for a long time, and I don't think that's going away. And it actually, if anything, it adds to the edge, and I'm not promoting anything, right? But it adds to the edge, it adds to the atmosphere that builds up pretty much. We were looking forward to this game for weeks in advance. It's the first fixture you look at when the fixtures are announced. Long may it continue. And I think the game in November, Mr. Simon Stainrod's back for it as well. There'll be a full house in the home end, I think. The away end will probably sell it fairly quickly as well. And what about 8,000 probably? I think so. I think that'll be the first sellout the stadium's had in about six years.
Do you think 8,000 potentially, Ross? That number, November the 5th game?
Not. If we're still neck and neck, Falkirk fans come out and back the team.
I think if we play well enough, I think it will be far off, Ross. I think we're 6,000 Saturday, 6,000 or something Saturday. So
yep,
you know, it's, you got a chance.
Absolutely.
It'll be good for Scottish football, you know, for to show. What potential we actually have, but you've got to earn it, Ross. That's the difference.
No, we do.
Absolutely. Let's hear from John McGlynn, the manager.
John, to start things off, first half, one word for me, dominant. Would you agree or not?
Absolutely, yeah. We played really well, some great football, some good chances, and possibly we'll ruin the fact that we didn't take them. You know, we had some really good chances. And repeat myself, because watching it, it looked like a really good performance, you know, good football, flowing football, fast moving, getting in behind them, getting down the sides of them, and causing them all sorts of problems. And as I say, probably ruined the fact that we didn't take two or three in the first half, and probably, you know, give us that extra cushion. You know, regardless of how many in front, the game's never finished. But you know, I think if you get two or three in front at half time, give yourself a right good opportunity to go and win the game. And of course we expected Dunfermline to come out at the start of the second half and have a go, which they did. We just had to weather that storm. Unfortunately, you know, we didn't quite do that, but I thought after that again we came back into the game and created another, you know, good few opportunities that we could easily have won the game, even based on the second half as well. So pleased with the performance, pleased with the attitude, the players' work rate. Excellent first half. Didn't quite weather the storm as much as we should have done in the opening period of the second half, and then regained control in the game, so to speak, and good opportunities. So big improvement on our last game. And you know, it's, you're away from home, you know, it's the position we're in, you want to win. I mean, it's probably not the worst point either, you know, in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, it's a lot of positives to take from that game.
He mentions attitudes and work rate in that chat there. That's something that I don't think we've had in the last couple of seasons. And you can see it through this Falkirk side, can't you?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bit of want about them now. They seem to want to know what they want to win now, I think. I know we're not going to win every game and it's difficult, but at least I think if Falkirk fans see the players trying, I think that's all you can ask. Because let's be fair, the last 2 years has been absolutely dreadful to watch, and Saturday was the right direction for me. They're trying to win the game, which is positive.
I agree, Brian. Do you know, it's not just the fact that they've not been good enough the last 3 or 4 years, but the desire hasn't been there at all either.
And we can see that, Ross, eh?
Absolutely, absolutely. And see, if you think back to that Hibs game at the start of the Premier Sports campaign, remember when Mackey made that tackle?
Brilliant.
It was as cheered as loud as any of the goals that were scored.
When Morrison chased that ball down against Queen of the South, was it Queen of the South?
Aye, yeah.
I think. It's something that I don't, and this is the thing with John McGlynn being in his manager as opposed to the previous incumbents, is that he won't settle for a lack of attitude, for a lack of work rate, is he? And he's the kind of manager that, you know, he's going to install that into the players, because he's not going to bring in players like, he's obviously, the players that he has brought in, he's worked with, and he knows like Col Donaldson, Sean Mackey. He knows what he's getting from them, Liam Henderson. You know, and he's not going to settle for anything less. I don't think so. Well, I think previous incumbents of that position, you know, you're talking Martin Rennie, you're talking Paul Sheeran, would settle for that because they had a way they wanted to play football. But McGlynn's got that, but he's also not going to settle for anything less than 110% from the players.
You know what I noticed as well, Jim, is the fact that we didn't get kicked off the ball so much now. We seem to be laying in a bit. You know what I mean? For the last 2 years, we've been pushovers. But this year, they're a wee bit more steel on the team, which is, as I say, every Falkirk fan just wants a team to win, but try. You know what I mean? At least they're trying this season. We're happy with trying.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. Well, let's hear from the other supporters. Ross, do you want to kick us off?
Josh says, first half today were superb. Movement was terrific. Really looked to drive forward on the ball. Second half, we looked nervous and lost our spark a little bit. Henderson again with a needless foul and cost another goal. A draw, a fair result in the end. Burrell was unreal and his direct runs and pace will be our best strength this year.
Is he, a lot of people, is he now our first choice striker? I mean, Allegri, I think, you know, obviously they started going, what is this boy all about? But he really came in the game with his hold-up play. He obviously got his goal recently as well. But does Burrell, after that performance on Saturday, force his way into the side and become our first choice striker?
Do you know, I was looking at Burrell on Saturday and he's no a big guy. He's no stocky, he's skinny, but he's strong. Mm. And he holds the ball up, as you say, and brings players in. I think he's got a really good chance to go now, eh? I didn't see why not.
I'd like to see the pair of them, Brian, because they're two different players. They're not the same player, and I know he likes to play this one up front with the two supporting him and stuff like that, but I think he's going to have to play the guys that are in form, not just people playing.
The idea, Ross, that's his problem. He's a manager. He's the man who picks this. We can all decide, but he's a manager, so yeah. He picks, and that's what it is.
It's interesting. I'd be interested to see, because putting Allegri in as the 9 and putting Burrell in as the 10, where Gary Oliver's playing. I think he likes Gary Oliver because his work rate. Listen, Gary Oliver is all over that park, you know. And Matt, I've complained that he drops too deep at times, but you know, I think he likes that. I think he likes Gary Oliver for that.
I agree, yeah. Billy. As you say, he comes back quite a bit, but he is all over the place, and you can't fault his. His commitment to winning the ball, try to get forward. It's a little bit frustration at times when you want him in the box and he's not there. Mm-hmm. But then maybe that's not his game.
Well, that's it. Matthew says first half was unreal. We've played in years. Should have been 5 up. They came into the game in the second half. Burrell was unreal, and Hendo, in my opinion, looks like he has a mistake in him. But all in all, progress is clearly being made.
See, just to go back on Henderson, I actually thought he played really well. Like, I know he made an arse of the tackle and stuff, but him and Donaldson, actually, I think could be quite a good partnership. And I do like Mackie, but I do think Henderson...
I think the back was quite steady, Ross, with young Lai Yates and the left-back guy, with McCann. I think it's quite steady, that back four.
Totally,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, McCann, I thought, had McCann, I think, has been absolutely fantastic this season. He's in a really good run of form. Again, I thought on Saturday he had a really, really good game. You know, and Sean Mackey, probably unlucky to drop out the side as well, but he fancies getting Henderson back in there. But I don't think, I'm sure he'd be really keen in getting Sean Mackey in at left back, but the form that McCann's in, you can't drop him.
No, you can't. It would be so, so unfair. I know there's a wee rumour going about that. He was obviously trying to get McCann out on loan and stuff. I think that'd be a terrible move. I'm sure it's off the table now, hopefully, but that would be a terrible decision.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Stephen says, I love Falkirk, supported them for almost 40 years, took my bairn to his first derby, amazing. Looked awesome at times and probably deserved the 3 points. Points suited the Pars, although I'm happy with a point and not losing.
I think, yeah, that was the big thing. We didn't lose. We got the point and get down the road. Jack says, good game at the Library today. Our fans were outstanding. Good first half. Handled them well in the second half. Henderson seems to be giving me the fear at the moment.
That's a few saying that. Douglas says, should have won it with the first half performance. Can I agree, to be honest? Could have lost it with the second half. Good to see quality attacking football with a resilience to defend against a direct style of play. That's a really, really positive way of saying that they were hoofball merchants.
I didn't think they were that. They had some good. Who was the boy? Was it is it Comrie, that young lad that plays there under the guy that's got Scotland under 21 cap?
Mockery.
Yeah, Mockery, that was it. Mockery. I thought he in midfield looked like a really good wee player.
I can see why they've won games and stuff. They are very direct, but I never saw a lot of football, if I'm being honest. I think that's why we'll go above them sooner rather than later, I think.
All the people that's phoning and texting in, Ross, are saying the same. We should have won the game. And that's still been said for a few years now.
No, yeah, you're right.
When's the last time all the folks we should have won the game?
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Gupty says, fair result. They'll argue rightly they had better chances, but we controlled most of the game and played by far the better football. Take the point and on to Clyde in a fortnight.
True. Danny says, good first half, honking for most of the second. It's becoming a bit of a habit now, unfortunately. Are they doing yoga at halftime? Poor penalty to give away and the subs made far, far too late. Disappointed. I kind of agree with him about the subs, actually. I thought we could have made the subs maybe 10 minutes earlier than that, if I'm being honest.
I agree. I think Burrow had ran his race a wee bit. There could have been. Kai Kennedy, obviously, it was good to see him and obviously Brad McKay back on the bench there at the weekend as well. He looked all right when he came on. He looked a bit handy.
And Kennedy?
Yeah, didn't get to see much of him, but.
Yeah, he never had long.
Remember, John's got a major problem now. Because all these players are pushing for a place.
Yeah.
They're decent players, but they've been on a depth in the squad for a long time like that.
Yeah.
That's just, he's got a problem too. So it's a good problem to have, though.
That is a good problem to have. I'm quite interested to see how much he tinkers for Friday night, because obviously I'm conscious that Partick are he'll be conscious as well, that Partick are a Championship team.
They'll tinker, though. They'll tinker with their side as well.
They'll tinker a little bit. We'll probably tinker a little. But I'd like to see Kennedy get a start. I think he'd be pretty good. At Lawal, I would start as well. So
yeah. He looked good when he came on as well. We offered something different, as he normally does. Brian says, we controlled the first half, but maybe didn't create enough for more than one goal. Second half was just a battle, and we showed resilience that we'd not been there last season. A point away to your biggest rivals is not a bad result. Nothing to fear going forwards.
True. Grant says, better team in the first half, but they were there for the taking and eventually paid the price for not creating enough chances and not being clinical enough in front of goal when we did. Thought we just shaded it overall, but again, happy with the point.
Yeah, it's very much the same. Everyone's kind of got walking away with this game with the same opinion. David says, the most pleasing thing was that every Falkirk player was up for it and gave their all, but that's how we should be in every game. Nesbitt and Burrell were different class today. And Tyler there says, fair result, controlled most of the play, but some amateur defending costs us points. Good result to build off of and create an 8-win streak until the return leg. So there you go, 8 games between now and the next game against them.
Do you know, John, that's a good shout, though. Sorry, who was it? David?
Tyler.
And then the comment before, David says about the players being up for it. They were up for it. But like we said last week, they need to be up for it every week, because there's no point in doing this and putting all this passion and the fighting against Dunfermline to then in 10 days' time now against Clyde, no being up for it. They need to be up for it. Nesbitt needs to have a better game. Yeah.
Can't he just be one in five? We can't afford it.
So,
absolutely. Aye. You want to finish with the last comment, Ross?
Willie just says Dunfermline or Specky. I'm not even sure.
I can't wait that. Right. Come to the point in the podcast where we've got to decide on our Falkirk Daft rated and our Falkirk Dafty of the week. Let's start with the positives and go for our Falkirk Daft rated player. Ross, who you got?
Only one name for me. I thought Ramon Burrell was fantastic on Saturday. There's a few that could get it, because as we've talked about, McCann had a great game, Nesbitt had a really good game as well. But I'm going to go Ramon Burrell.
Yeah. Brian, who you got?
I'm going to go Nesbitt, I think. And I went there, but I'll go for Nesbitt. I thought he had a good game as well, to be fair. So, Nesbitt.
Yeah, okay. And I'm going to have to go with Burrow as well. You know, I thought first time starting, he put in a shift. He gave Benedict has all sorts of problems, specifically in that first half. He ran his race a wee bit. I think you could see that kind of midway through the second half. But yeah, I just wish he'd taken that chance. Imagine if he'd taken that chance in the last 10 minutes. It would have been brilliant.
The place would have been absolutely bananas.
Don't forget about Borrell as well, Ross. He's never played that level of football before. This is all new to this guy as well.
I know, absolutely. No, absolutely. Yeah. That's probably worked in his favour as well, because they don't know him. None of the coaches won't know him. The players don't know him. They don't know what he can do. And that setup, the wee dink down the wing, hitting the byline, it was just brilliant. It was just fantastic.
No, absolutely. Right, Falkirk Dafty, who's getting it this week, Ross?
It's going to have to be Liam Henderson. I don't think he had to lunge in.
No.
I don't think it was as reckless as when I saw it live. I thought, what the hell's he done there? But when you watch it back, I don't think it was as reckless, but still, it's still silly, and I don't think he had to make it.
Yeah. Brian, you agree?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair result, yeah.
Yeah, it's Henderson all round then. I'm going to go for Henderson as well. Again, like I say, I think match fitness contributes to that, and I think when he hopefully gets there, he'll be all right. But yeah, it's a couple of Falkirk Dafties for Henderson now, so hopefully you can get a Falkirk Daft rated soon enough. Listen, Brian, thank you so much for coming on and being our guest, but we didn't have to use the bleep machine that much.
Not yet, anyway.
Absolutely. Listen, absolutely brilliant to have you on,
I told Ross on Saturday I wasn't as bad as what I needed to be.
fair enough. So if you want to get involved with Elliot's, you can always see Brian. He's at the end of the bar every Saturday taking the money for the bus, so you'll get him down there at Elliot's. If you want to come to Elliot's for a couple of pints before the match and get up to the match, Brian's your man.
Yeah, boy, mate. Cheers, thank you.
Thanks, Brian. And just remember, if you want to be on the show, be our guest pundit, you can drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or you can Bob us an email, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com.
This is Falkirk Daft.
It's Falkirk Daft with Forth Valley Dental Laboratory. Thanks once again for their sponsorship this week. Remember, you can get them at forthvalleydental.co.uk for all your dental needs. Services include chrome and acrylic denture work, crown and bridge implants, sports and mouth guards, all sorts of stuff, anti-stone appliances. Get them at forthvalleydental.co.uk. And thanks once again for the sponsorship of the podcast. Right, every week on Falkirk Daft, we ask a big question. This is a bit of a random one. We got one of our friends, Joe Hind. We had this story from her. I completely forgot about it, that she was in, I think it was FK1, the nightclub.
Yes, I think that's where she was. It was either that or Rosie's.
It was either that or Rosie's. And she basically, Stephen Rennie, ex-Falkirk, right back, she turned round and he basically stuck his tongue down her throat. And she was like, that was very random. So she got snogged by Stephen Rennie. So we thought we'd ask, we should have probably asked, have you had any sexual encounters with Falkirk players? But we went for what's the most random encounter you've had with a Falkirk player, and that was a big question this week. And Ross, you're going to kick us off.
Yes, I will. And it's spooky. We're talking about.
Did you have one before we get into the list?
Do you know there's probably been a few over the years. The only thing I can off the top of my head remember being in hospitality mid-noughties. And we've been kicked out of the Bravo Lounge. It's like 6:30. It's time to go. That kind of scenario. And we're waiting on a taxi to take us up the town. And Pedro Moutinho, I remember, he was outside having a fag. And he's like...
professional footballer.
Yeah. He's like, where he's going? And we're like, we're just going up the town. He's like, oh, can we share a taxi? Can I get one? I was like, yeah, that's fine. Thinking, have we got room for Pedro? And he's like, oh, can my mate come? And I was like, well, we'll need to phone and get another taxi. So we phoned and got two taxis. Pedro's mate that he was talking about was wee Russell. Russell comes out, has a quick fag before the taxi comes as well. And so we're sharing a taxi up to behind the wall. And then we got invited in for a beer. Granted, we went in, we had a beer, and then obviously they had stuff to go and do. So we shared a beer with them, but that was pretty random.
That's tremendous. That's tremendous.
Yeah, plenty of Pedro for not saying, oh, it's wee Russell. He's like, oh, it's my mate. Yeah, it's fine. He's coming.
I'd have been like kicking people out. Russell, you're not coming, pal.
Exactly. I would have walked out.
The taxi. Absolutely.
I've got random ones.
Very random. So I was at Hospitality, the darts once down in Newcastle, and managed to black it in. And it was a very random night. I sat next to the guy who made the dartboards, right? Now, there's only like one company in the world pretty much that make dartboards, right? And his family, this business has been his family since the 1900s, early 1900s and stuff like that. And he made the dartboards. So I sat next to him banter, and I went, great chat with him, blagged it into the players' lounge, right? At the darts down, this was down in Newcastle where I lived down there during the time. So I'm in the players' lounge, right? There's Raymond Barneville. I've got chatting away with Barney, having a beer with fucking Raymond Barneville. It's amazing. However, what was more amazing was that Tim Krul, who was obviously playing for Newcastle at the time,
of course he's Dutch.
He was Dutch, so he was down, and I was like, Tim, I was like, he's playing for Newcastle. You play for Falkirk, so I'm like, all these old Newcastle boys are sitting chatting about Newcastle. I'm like, Tim, the Bears, go on, let's talk about the Bears. I'm steaming at this point. So there's me, Raymond Barneveld, and Tim Krul, and talking about Falkirk. And like, I was like, what's the connection between Tim Krul and Ray Barneveld? How do you know each other? How did you? Yeah. Apparently, Raymond Barneveld, before he became a professional darts player, worked beside Tim's dad.
Could
they come from the same town in Holland? And Ray worked beside Tim's dad, so that was why Tim was down at the darts. And random encounter, there's me, Newcastle, awesome, Ray Barneveld, and Tim Krul. But that was my most random encounter with a Falkirk player.
Random as well,
I was about it, absolutely about it. But listen, everyone's been in touch with their stories, so let's wrap around. So some of your stories. Our friend Fraser Boy, this is a belter, met Pedro Moutinho in the Reading Tesco car park once. I was going back to my car and he told me I had a flat tyre. Never meet your heroes.
I can just imagine Fraser actually being pretty annoyed.
Yeah.
The fact that he's met Pedro, but actually he's told him that he's going to cost him some money as well.
Yeah.
Dale, he's been in touch. So as an 11-year-old, he had a dental appointment at Grangemouth. In walks wee Crunchy to the waiting room, and his dad telling him how in awe he was of him. He came over, sat next to him, blethered until it was time for him to go and get his filling.
Amazing. Can I just tell you right now, Ross, I had one of the best moments of my life on Saturday. And by the way, thanks to everyone in Elizabethan that came up and said they liked the podcast. I really appreciate that. But I was standing talking to my mates. I got a wee tap on the shoulder. Who is that? It's Kevin McAllister. Tapped me on the shoulder. I said, "You're right, John." Shook my hand because I'd done that Crunchy night behind the wall and stuff like that. He kind of knows me now. And I went, "Who did it?" I was like, to my mate Gary, I was like, "Did you just see that? Please tell me you just saw that." And I was having a wee chat with him. But that was one of the greatest moments of my life.
Not washed your hands since then?
No, absolutely not. But the fact he tapped me on the shoulder, "You're right, John." I was like, "What? Did you get McAllister on you?" Anyway, that was very exciting.
That is exciting. And the wife should be excited by that as well. Listen, you just go home and listen, Crunchy's touched my hand today.
Exactly. Stephen Gibson's been in touch. Saves at a Coldplay gig a few weeks ago at Hampden. He got a freebie with work, VIP. He was in a box, looked to his right, and saw this chap, and he's got a picture with him, with Stephen McGinn, who was there with his other brothers. So John must have been there as well.
Wow. Oh, there you go. Oh, listen, nice we've seen the Bairns captain that night then. Lewis Hogan has got in touch. I think Lewis is going to be coming on the podcast at some point next week as well. Kevin James and Scott Severin appearing at his mate's house after a night out. It was bizarre to see Kevin not only walk past the front window, but then come into the house. He would have been about 15 at the time, as in Lewis would have been 15 at the time. The thing is, though, Kevin would have probably had to duck to get into the house.
I would suspect so. David Gray, not Babylon, but Falkirk supporter Dave the Bairn, says Bobby Lesnick and Jack Compton shared a house opposite me. Also returned Bobby's wallet when he dropped it in the Thistle Centre. Met Nathan Austin at Musselburgh Races, and he's wearing a truly terrible suit.
Fair play. Craig is in touch. Pedro seems to be coming up in a few of these comments here. Pedro Moutinho once asked me for a light outside Elliot's.
It's a common thread here.
Do you think he meant light and not a fight? Hopefully a light, surely, yeah.
Aye. Wesley says, met Will Volks and Behind the Wall after beating Queen of South and Dumfries. My mate's band was playing and Will and I had a dance-off.
Super. Stuart has got in touch to say early 90s. I'll read it verbatim as well because he's got a real good way of words here, Stuart. Early 90s, my ma got someone round to paint the outside of the house, and it wasn't a euphemism. I looked out my bedroom window and Peter Godfrey was outside on a ladder painting the house.
Absolutely brilliant. Benny Kell, Kenny Bell, out for a meal with a big group of friends. I met Daniel McBreen and the full earshot of everyone at the table and to their amusement. I said, thanks, Daniel, for the memories.
Well, I don't know if this is the last one or not, but it's a nice one to end if it is. Noel's Next has tweeted us to let us know that Scott McKenzie spewed on his shoes at the back of the Howgate.
Listen, that is we're going to edit. Listen, I think we've got so many of these coming in. I think we'll do more of these next week. So the big question, keep these coming in on our Twitter at Falkirk Daft, on Facebook, DM us on Facebook. Your random encounters with Falkirk players, keep them in, because I've got a few. I think there's a few more in the bag here, so keep them coming in, and we'll continue this on the big question next week.
This is Falkirk Daft.
It's Falkirk Daft, this week sponsored by Forth Valley Dental Laboratories. Thanks to Stuart and the team over there for jumping on board. And every week on Falkirk Daft, we like to look ahead to our next game. And this week, it is on a Friday night under the lights at the stadium. And it's against Partick Thistle, our old rivals from League One last year. We won't talk about any of that. In fact, it was last year, wasn't it? It just kind of wiped my memory of that.
Two years ago.
I don't want to go back to that night in Maryhill. That's why I've tried to forget about it. Anyway, you heard them there and making their way to the podcast. Build it a weight of £220. He's a scourge of Maryhill. He's a former ICW heavyweight champion and also happens to be a Thistle supporter as well. He is Rudo Lightning, aka Andy Wason. How you doing, Andy?
How you doing, all right? How's it going?
I'm getting confused. The last couple of seasons, Andy, are just an absolute bore.
I know.
Supporters. I just want to just forget about them. That's why I'm so confused.
They've all been shit. They just merge into one shitness, don't they? So
I know.
Yeah.
However, for Thistle, I mean, you're back up in the Championship after a wee spell in League One. How's it been going this season, Andy?
I think Thistle have built on their progress that they made last season. I think it's easy to be disappointed in last season because Thistle were in like a really good position. They fell away through injuries and you'd probably say lack of depth in the squad. So I think that's something that the management team and the board, to be fair to them, have backed that as well. They've given them the resource to go ahead and get a bit of depth in the squad, and it's definitely shown. And there's maybe times this season, where last season, if a player were to become injured, we didn't really have anybody for cover. But there's a lot of depth in the squad this season, so it's been a mixed bag. But what I would say is the quality of football in the Championship's pretty good. It's always been a competitive league, but yeah. I think in years gone by, you know, the quality of football, maybe a bit more of a scrappy game, a bit more physical. But Queen's Park have been tremendous. They played Thistle off the park. United, we haven't played them yet, but they're also a very, very good side. If it's watching them on BBC and stuff like that, and so for Thistle, I mean, the expectation, I suppose, for Thistle is to make the playoffs. If you were to ask Ian McCall, I don't think he'd be telling you that the expectations in the squad to win the league, but you've got to think that Thistle should be up there. Yeah. But you know, Saturday's an example. It's hard to criticise them, but they have this kind of thing going on where they only play for 80 minutes.
Yeah, you saw the 2-8 goals from Reynolds there at the weekend.
Yeah, it's not the first time that that's happened either. And it happened often last season as well. So I think there's maybe a psychological thing there that they may need to work on. So it's something for, you know, Thistle have a habit of late goals. Yeah. And sometimes it's disappointing because, you know, you want that clean sheet as well. Sometimes when you're trying to win a league, clean sheets are an important thing, I think, maybe psychologically. And, you know, they were beating Inverness 4-0. They were absolutely flying, and then just let a goal in 92 minutes, and that was the clean sheet gone.
Yeah.
So that would be nice for that. But yeah, you can't complain. I mean,
top of the league, Andy. I mean, 4 wins, 2 draws, and just 1 loss on the table already. I mean, 14 points, 4 clear of Dundee, more importantly, as well. Do you fancy Thistle for the league? Or do you think you might fall away, you know, with strength of the likes of Dundee and Inverness in there?
Yeah, I don't think Dundee or Inverness, I don't think either of those teams are in any better a position than Thistle. I would say that Queen's Park and Ayr United are probably the two that people aren't really talking about. I think Queen's Park
ruined your ground last season.
You would expect Owen Coyle's always run a tight ship. Like he's never really been a bad man. Like he's never had a really bad spell at a club, as far as I can remember. So you'd expect that. And they've got a lot of ambition.
Ross County supporters might disagree with you there.
That's right. But, you know, he just came back from winning the Indian League, and Ayr United, and I just know they've put a lot of time and effort into their backroom staff, and they've got a sports science department, and they've probably got that edge. I don't think a lot of clubs in the league are really tapping into that, sports science, psychology, all that kind of stuff. And that stuff helps. So I would say Thistle's biggest rival for the title's probably Ayr, I would say.
Oh, wow.
I really don't think, I think Inverness, or, you know, they might make the... The top four, I don't know what order, but I can't see it beyond Queen's Park, Ayr, Dundee and Thistle.
Wow.
At the moment. Thistle, as I say, they've got the depth in the squad. They can score goals. So it's in their hands, really.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it'd be great to win the league, but it's fun being in the Championship. I've been there before. Thistle, they go into the Premiership. It's good to be there. There's that, you know, playing all these teams that you've not played for a while, going to new stadiums and stuff, being on Sky. But then, ultimately, you're not playing for anything.
No.
You might be playing for top six, and we've done that before, and we weren't strong enough a team for the top six. We get battered after the split, so it's difficult because you see a difference in the crowds and stuff as well when they're not really playing for anything. They're just playing games, and there isn't that excitement that there would be if you're contesting for a title or playoffs or whatever. So
I know you see that quite often, actually, where teams will get a far bigger crowd as a successful team in the Championship than a struggling team in the Premier League. Absolutely.
Yeah, commercially as well, just strips, everything. The Thistle first went up, you're going back 20 years now for the whole First Division, and that was the first time they'd been up. And you just seen a big difference in everything, you know, like crowds, shirt sales, everything. Just went down, which isn't really that great for the club, you know. You get the parachute payments and all that, and it keeps the club going, but you want to win stuff, do you know what I mean?
I know John just mentioned it the other now, but I take it the pitch is a hell of a lot better than it was last year, Andy.
Yeah. They completely relayed it. So it got taken out and relayed in the summer, and it's a 50-50, so it's kind of a hybrid turf. So
yeah,
and also Queen's Park don't play at Firhill anymore. They do. There are some Rangers B play there sometimes, and I know Ukraine are training on Firhill tonight. That was the pitch was. I would probably say that was probably one of the big things that cost us a lot of points eventually in the league, just with some of the... I mean, because Thistle are a passing team. You know, like they.
Well, it's a McCall side. McCall, the way McCall sets up, you know, having had him at Falkirk, you know, but at the start of his career, really, he does set an exciting attacking brand of football.
Yeah. Yeah. And with the pitch the way it was, I just don't think that they were able to play at all. One thing about this particular squad is, I think, it's almost like a kind of a Ian McCall's Avengers Assemble, in a way. Like, there's players there that he signed for Thistle on his first stint at the club, and they've returned, but he's also a sprinkle of players that he had at Ayr United in this squad as well. So he seems to have assembled quite a kind of a trusted squad, and people that he's worked with before, and even backroom staff as well. So it's exciting.
A couple of ex-Bairns in there that we'll have to mention. David Mitchell, goalkeeper. Got Aero, Aaron Muirhead, former Falkirk captain in there. And Anton Dowds, who obviously just left us in the last season to come. How are those players? Because we always like to look at our ex-players, Andy. Mm-hmm. How do those three fare?
Mitchell's first choice keeper at the minute. So I don't really know why, but Jamie Sneddon, who was, you might remember from when we were in League One, young keeper, doesn't seem to be getting a game at the minute. Nobody really knows why. Rumours of a tiff between himself and the manager. So Mitchell's been playing almost every game. The fans, I mean, you'll hear mixed reviews in the stand about Mitchell, but I think he's a good keeper. I hear a lot of people bringing his distribution into question. But he's made some good saves. You know, he's not. You can't really blame him for these kind of goals going in at the end of the game kind of thing. I don't think it would make much of a difference. But Muirhead, I mean, Muirhead's one of the players that Muirhead played for Thistle before under McCall, when they won the First Division in 2013. So he's familiar with the club. He's got a hernia. He's had a hernia up, I think. So he's not been about. Scored against Kilmarnock in the Premier Sports Cup when we beat them up at Rugby Park. But that was, I'm pretty sure that was his last game. After he went for his op, and Dowds has been playing really well. Doesn't normally start. Maybe has been starting a bit more recently. Feels like he has come on and scored a few games. And everyone in around Firhill seems to be really impressed with him as well. Hearing a lot of good things about him. See him myself as well, but it's always good to base your comments on what other people are saying as well. So
he's
going to be a fan, going to be a big player for the club. I think the fans are really, really taking to him as well. So
I'm sure he'll be playing like a bear on Friday night if he plays as well, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, he's bound to score on Friday if he. Aside from the players mentioned there, is there anyone else we should look out for on Friday, Rudo?
I think, given that I'm just checking what the last starting lineup one, I've got it here. I don't expect Thistle to play. You know, I don't expect Thistle to rest anybody per se, just because
the cup. Yeah.
Well, it's there isn't a game. It's not like it's a midweek thing. I mean, there's an international break. They'd probably be happy to be playing. Harry Milne, who you might remember from. I think he came for Cove.
Oh, right.
We signed him for Cove, so he's been fantastic. Scott Tiffany spent a large period of last season injured, and quite a bit of this season, to be fair. But he's starting to come into a game a wee bit. You've got Brian Graham.
Brian Graham's always a threat. He really is a really good player at this level.
Yeah. And Ross Stockton, I like Ross Stockton a lot of, he's the captain of the club. A lot of Thistle fans maybe you know, he's not really their bag, but I think he's a good captain for the club, and he can surprise you in front of goal as well. But this will do on the whole. I mean, they've got a strong bench as well. You might see Tunjak, you know, starting, big centre half. He was pretty prominent last season. He struggled to get back into the team nearly after we signed a lot of guys in the summer. But Kyle Turner, you might not be familiar with him. He's ex-Dunfermline. His dad played for Dunfermline as well, so he gets quite a bit of stick off Dunfermline fans.
We don't know him, but we instantly hate him, Andy, so that's a given.
This is a... Can you explain to me why Falkirk and Dunfermline's a derby?
Well, it's just a derby of hate, pure hatred.
Because I was trying to figure it out, like, geographically, like, why is this a derby?
It's not a local derby, it's just
a derby of pure hate. So Thistle, favourites to win the game, according to Bet365, 8-11 Thistle. The draw is 11-4, as is a Falkirk win at home at 11-4 as well. Andy, what you got for the score? What do you think the score's going to be?
I don't know who's going to win the tie or who's going to qualify, but I'm thinking a 90-minute draw. Because I think Falkirk here, they're pushing for League One this season. They've from what I can see from the outside, they're going through a bit of a resurgence at the minute. They've got things are starting to line up for them. And I think this is going to be a big test for them in terms of, you know, where they want to be. And I don't think they're going to lie down, because Falkirk might want to win this trophy a bit more than Thistle, given that Thistle have got to concentrate on getting into the Premiership. And I think, I mean, we played Cove at the weekend. We drew with Cove, and I would imagine Falkirk are probably a better side than Cove.
Hopefully this season we are, this season.
Yeah. And even Queen's Park, who obviously have made a big improvement, but these are teams that we are playing now, and you would expect them to be on kind of this a similar level to Falkirk. So I don't think it's going to be an easy game for Thistle, an away game as well. So I'd be surprised if Falkirk don't score. I'll say that.
Right. Okay.
What's the deal with this one? Does it go straight to pens, or is that there's extra time? Is there?
I don't know. I'll have to look up. I think it might be straight to pens, you know.
Right. No, I don't think the Challenge Cup's ever been like that. I think it's just a straight tie. Extra time.
We'll have to look that up. We'll see what the scores are. Ross, what you got?
I think we need to remember we are the world's most successful Challenge Cup winning team.
We've won it more times than anyone else.
So, do you know? I agree with Andy. I think obviously our number one goal this year is to get out of the League One. That's a given. However, realistically, this is probably the only other chance we've got to win in a trophy. So I'd like to hope we can have a right good go at this. So I think it's a tough tie. I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to say 2-1 because I think we might concede, but I think
Dowd will definitely score against
Anton Dowd. And well, it sounds like Muirhead's not going to be there, because Muirhead.
Oh yeah, no, he actually started in Saturday.
He's definitely going to score
If Thistle get a penalty, I'm sure Muirhead will probably take it, because he seems to be a bit of a penalty taker, doesn't he? So I'm going to say 2-1. I'll stick with 2-1.
Fair enough.
2-1 Falkirk.
I'm going to go 2-1 Burns, aye. Yeah.
Okay.
Andy, are you still wrestling with the boots hung up now?
I wouldn't say they've hung up, but they're almost hung up.
Right, Andy, if you've not seen Andy wrestle, he obviously wrestles in Thistle colours as well normally.
Yep.
So he's always got the red, black, and yellow there on the go as well. You got anything, Pug? You run wrestling experience Scotland, Andy. You got a couple of shows coming up, haven't you?
Yeah, so we're in here on the 1st of October, and we're up in Inverness on the 8th.
Some cards you've got together, by the way.
Yeah, we tried to really got some of the guys that we were able to. Some of the guys that have recently kind of left the WWE, they're able to come and wrestle on this show. So excited to have some of them back, and of Chris Bungard, who's a well-known kind of Scottish MMA fighter, quite successful. He's recently made the shift into wrestling, so he's wrestling now, and managed to get him on the card as well in a kind of a special attraction in the air against the current kind of wrestling world champion from ICW, Kez Evans. So yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. Great kind of thing for the family to come and enjoy. And a bit of something for everyone, really. And the Citadel's at down in there is a really nice venue as well. It's always been a great place for us to go. So hoping to kind of keep that up, up the tradition.
Good. Well, hopefully you get a show in Falkirk soon, so we can all get along to that as well. Andy, aka Rudo Lightning, thanks for being on Falkirk Daft.
Thank you.
We say it every week, but we will say best of luck to Thistle at the weekend, but we don't really mean it.
No, it'll be a good game. I hope you enjoy it, and it'll be interesting to see what goes down.
Absolutely. Cheers, Andy.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So that's it for Falkirk Daft this week, and once again, thank you very much to our sponsors this week, Forth Valley Dental Laboratory, business for over 30 years. For all your dental needs, remember the office, a full-service dental laboratory covering aspects of both private and NHS dental laboratory work. And thanks to Stuart, who sponsored the podcast this week. And if you want to sponsor us, please get in touch with us, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com, or you can drop us a DM on our socials. Well, I don't know what after the Dunfermline match. How are you feeling after it, Ross? How are you feeling for the rest of the season? Because that's the marker, isn't it?
It is. I think I'm optimistic, very optimistic. If that's the best that League One is, if that's what we're saying, I know Airdrie will probably be about as well. But yeah, we're saying that's the caliber, then I don't think we've got anything to fear. I'm very optimistic after that. But yeah, we need to be doing it more regularly. And not just turning up for that type of game. We need to be there every week.
Yeah, I think it was the point was made. 8 games now between now and the next game against Dunfermline in November. Let's go unbeaten in those 8. You know,
100%.
Let's go unbeaten in those 8 and let's see where we are come the next game at the stadium. But yeah, I think, you know, you've got to look at that optimistically. Good performance, certainly the first half, and we'll take it from there, hopefully.
Absolutely.
And let's start with a win against Thistle on Friday night. We'll see.
You know, that would give us a great boost as well. Yep. If we did get that win, because it gives you a bit of confidence, because obviously Andy's just said there that Thistle might not rest too many players, so it could be a really, really good test.
Yeah, we know what we're going to get from an Ian McCall side. They're going to come at us, going to attack us, and hopefully we can, you know, give them a good go. I think
absolutely. Just fingers crossed someone takes a shit in his shoe before the game and that'll just annoy him.
classic. Listen, thanks very much for listening to Falkirk Daft. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Falkirk Daft. Please do review the podcast if you're an ex-player, because we've got a lot of ex-players reviewing the show as ever. You know, Denon Lewis has written a review, Leo Fasan's written a review of the podcast, so please keep these coming in on Apple or Spotify, where you can drop us a review. Remember, if you want to jump into the Discord chat, we've got a Discord channel set up for all discussion Falkirk. You can do that, and the links are in the comments below and in the description. And check us out on YouTube, subscribe to our channel up there, like and subscribe, guys, like and subscribe, and you can do that at Falkirk Daft on YouTube. Well, fingers crossed for Friday night, like I say. Be good to get a wee cup run. We'll see where we're at. Again, it's all about the league, though. So 10 days.
It is all about the league, but we are the world's most successful Challenge Cup winners. So
I like how you're starting with that. I like how you're going with that. So yeah. Brilliant. So we'll see you down at the stadium on Friday. And until next time, Ross.
Expect the unexpected, John.